Good morning, everyone. I hope the song will be a blessing to every one of you. While walking down a memory lane, oh, not so long ago, oh, Satan came right by my side, making me feel low. He brought up thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walk along my way. He said, "You're undeserving, 'cause I know where you have been. I have a record of your life when you were bound by sin. I know your darkest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell? Well, I heard the old accuser, and this was my reply. You're right for all the things I've done. I surely deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rocks. My goodness isn't clean. There's only one thing I can say to what you've said to me. It's under the blood. Oh, praise His dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding you it's under the blood. Victory was given me when I was born again. He washed my stained and sinful past and put new life within. No longer do I bear the mark that sin had brought my way. With happiness and peace of mind, praise God, I now can say, it's under the blood. Oh, praise His dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding you it's under the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's under the blood. Oh, praise His dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding you it's under the blood. I'm happy reminding you it's under the blood.
Amen. May I say that folk of this caliber is welcome in my life anytime. Amen. What a blessing. Let me say a thing or two. In our bulletin, you will notice on the back page a list of our missionaries. And because of you coming and because of you giving, we are able to have a good mission program. I hope others will become a part of Inman Heights, not for that reason alone, but that would be a great reason to be here and to tithe here and to give offerings here, is because that we are missionary Baptist people. And we do believe in missions. And it's not just a title or a name. We carry that out and give and share so that others can go and share the gospel of Christ with the world that needs the Lord so badly. So I appreciate you that do come and give. I challenge others to be a part of this ministry. Wouldn't it be great within the next 12 months that we could just extend our mission program? And I believe the Lord will help us to do that. I'll say this and I'll move along. I am told that Dr. Harold Seitler, which pastored the large Baptist church college in Greenville, South Carolina, many years ago, I personally had the honor of hearing Dr. Seitler several times, but I'm told that in that large ministry, that Dr. Seitler told the story that if we got into financial straits, we'd take on another missionary. And, you know, that don't make sense to the world, but it does make sense when you're serving God by faith. John chapter 4, please, this morning. John chapter number 4. I don't want to take the time to read the entire passage, though I think it would be beneficial, and I do love the wonderful word of God, and I love this story that we have concerning the Samaritan woman. I want you to look, John chapter 4. I think many of you are familiar with this passage. I apologize for the roughness of my voice this morning. I have a lot of problem with allergies. I think that causes that, but please try to overlook and listen to what the Lord would say to us. In John 4, verse number 11, the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast that living water? Then look at verse 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Verse 17, the woman answered. Verse 19, the woman saith unto him. Look at verse 28. The woman then left her water pot. Verse 39, we read this, and it said, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. Then in verse number 42, it said, and said unto the women, unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Would you pray with me and pray for me? Father, thank you for the day. I've already prayed and I pray again sincerely that you'd help us to be focused, to be to the point, be able to bring the Word of God this morning. Help us to be able to touch the heart of somebody through the Word. May you bless us now together. I'll be grateful if I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, there's no question about what I've read today. The story is about the woman. And when I think about this woman, you start out in the first part of this chapter, and she is a woman of ill repute. She is a woman that, according to Jesus, that she'd had five husbands, and the man she was with now was not her husband. Now I'm told that those Jewish rabbis supposed to be the ones that have the know, supposed to be the ones that instructed the people, that the Jewish rabbis 2-3 times in marriage, and that's all they allowed. Other than that, you know, it just, it's bad. Can I say something today? I don't want to be misunderstood, but divorce is a terrible thing. Don't clam up on me. I'm not done yet, all right? But divorce, God said in the Old Testament, and you study it out, the very thing when he said, I hate putting away, it was divorce. Now, probably a third of our people today, maybe I don't know, and I have people that have been married at least twice. So I don't want you to misunderstand me. But I remember when I was a young man, I tell you, it was not near as prominent as it is today. And adultery was considered a sin when I was a young man. Oh, quite today, amen? And I'm not going to kill a good service, but I'm telling you, that I'm talking about the woman. The woman. Now, why did Jesus bring up to this woman? Why did he tell her to go call her husband? Was it being mean? No. What he was doing was getting her to face the issue that I'm a sinner and I'm empty and my life is a mess. And I need the Lord. And may I say to you today, if you've only been married one time, or if you've never been married as of yet, may not even plan on doing so after you've watched your mom and daddy a while, hallelujah, you ain't having the time, but you still must face whatever your problem is and your sin if you're going to ever get what Jesus has to offer. So she said, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. Didn't want to deal with it, try to keep, you know, things looking better. She talked religion. But you know, she come to that well that day. She was a woman that had come. She had to face her past life. We've got to understand we're sinners. You got to come to grips with the truth that there's something missing in your life. There's an absence in your life. You've got to deal with whatever's wrong in your life. The real problem with folk today, whether you like it or not, it's true. The real problem with folk today, we just don't want to admit we've got problems. Try to cover it up. Try to call it something else. And I'm telling you, sodomy is not an alternative lifestyle. It's sodomy, it's sin, amen? Right? And we could go on, but they try to rename it and try to cover all this. I'm telling you, you've got to think, when I come to Christ, I had to deal with my sin. When you come to Christ, you've got to deal with your sin. But the wonderful story about this is that she did realize her sin. She did have a desire for Christ. She did want something much better. And she asked for this something better that the Lord offered. I've often thought, the Bible said, and Jesus must pass through Samaria. Now the Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews. Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, according to the testimony of that woman. And that was true to a certain extent, but it might not have been as extensive as she thought it was, for the Lord's disciples had left the well, had went into town to buy some supplies, some food, whatever, and it was a Samaritan town. So there was restriction on the associations they had, but it was not necessarily a no-no. But on the other point, most Jews, when they were traveling from Judea to Galilee, instead of passing through Samaria, they'd go the long way around to bypass Samaria. But the Bible said, and Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Now, it's not because the road's blocked on the other side of town. It's not because it's the easiest way to go. But there's one reason that Jesus must pass through Samaria. And the reason he had to go to Samaria was because there was this woman and there was a group of people there that needed more than they'd ever had. There was an emptiness about their life. They were involved in sinful practices. They needed to be delivered from their sin. And they needed more than what they had. And what they had needed was what Jesus had. And he wanted them to have it. And he passed through Samaria. Aren't you glad the Lord passed through your way one day?
Amen.
I'm glad he passed by where I was at. And so he goes, and as he comes to a near a parcel of land that Jacob gave to Joseph, his son, Sychar, he came to Jacob's well, and he sat thus on the well. Now, from what I can understand, probably a rock wall, somewhat of a barrier-like, that's been laid here or hewn here. And so Jesus, he's not sitting up on top of the well, but he's sitting here at the well. That makes sense to you? And I can picture him sitting there. And the Bible said in the scriptures here in chapter 4, and Jesus, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well. I'm glad Jesus knows our feelings and our experiences, don't you? I don't want to get personal today, but I know what it is to be so tired. Monday I was off, and I went to Kentucky. Camp meeting. Tuesday I worked 10 hours. 9 hours. Wednesday I worked 10 hours. Preached in Bible study. Thursday I worked. And Friday I worked. And Saturday I worked. And cleaned out my church barn. Got good and tired. Took me a bath and loafed a while. And I'm saying some things. I'm not just rambling. I'm trying to tell you some things. And while I'm doing all of this, some of the rest of you is busy doing other things. And it comes Saturday evening, and you're wore out. You're tired. Jesus, you feel. When life's burdens, when all the problems, when you're just wore smack dab out, the Lord knows exactly how you feel. And he sat thus on the well, and here comes this woman, and he begins this conversation. He starts the conversation. He takes the initiative. Can I say to you today that the Lord always takes the initiative in your life? I wasn't looking for him. I'm glad he come looking for me. I wasn't calling to him. I'm glad he come calling to me. That's the way it works. He takes the initiative in this matter of salvation. He wanted her to have the drink more than she really wanted the drink. And that's what it is with Jesus. He wants you to have what he's got. He's not going to force it on you, but he'll give you ample opportunity to get the drink that he has to offer.
Amen.
And I'm glad of that. So the woman, things is looking better for her. For she finally says, Lord, I perceive that you're a prophet. And I want you to give me this water that you're offering me. And evidently she got a taste and a drink. For she went back into town. She left her water pot. And she went back into town and said, come see a man which told me all that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Excited. Joy. Happy. met the Lord. That's what happened when you meet the Lord. You're blessed. You're happy. You're forgiven. You've got a drink. You found satisfaction when you meet the Lord. I've never known of anybody that got saved by the grace of God that was sorrowful about it. Everybody's always been happy about it. Always been happy about it. That's right. She met the Lord. So the woman. Now the well. The well. The well. Our brother Epps preached on the well on Monday afternoon. Done a tremendous job. Brother Epps preached on that well as being a type of the church. And a picture of the church. And it said Jacob had given them that well. Hundreds and hundreds of years had transpired, and the well still there, and the water still flowing. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to say thank God for the well. I'm glad there's a place where you can get refreshment. There's people right back here, Brother David, that was here 20 years ago as little boys and girls. You know why they come back to Emory High? There was love. There was Jesus. There was somebody that cared. There was the Bible. I'm telling you, there was a peace. There was a little old boy come through over here 4 or 5 years ago, and Brother Ronnie Stockton called him by name and said, "Son, why are you here tonight?" He hadn't come into the building. He just meandered around. And he said, "This is the only safe place. This is the only place that I feel safe tonight." What about that, friend? I'm glad there's still a well. I'm glad there's a place where a thirsty soul can still get a drink of water. And if you're here this morning, I don't care how many times you've been married. I don't care how many times you've been drunk. I don't care who you've stolen off of. Don't care who you've lied to. I'm here to tell you today, hallelujah, there's a drink for you, because the well, hallelujah, the well today. Yes, sir. Amen. See, I ain't near as mean as you thought I was when I started. But truth is truth. Amen. That's exactly right. The well. She's trying to associate what Jesus was offering her with what was in that well. I'm telling you, there is a similarity, but it ain't the same thing. How many times? I'm a farm boy, raised on a farm, and when I was a youngster, we put up, which probably wasn't all that much compared to what a lot of people would have. We'd haul 5,000-6,000 square bales of hay a year, and load them on a truck, and take them to the barn, and unload them and stack them in the barn, and get good and hot and good and nasty. I've shared this so many times, but here we go again. My dad and a neighbor man joined forces, and we'd make our hay and his hay, and man, we made hay. But right next to the porch over at the Hedrick place, there was an old dug well. And I'm telling you, you talk about good fresh water. When you let that well bucket down into that thing, and you drawed that bucket of water and got you a dipper of water out, I'm telling you, friend, it didn't taste like chlorine. It didn't taste like rotten eggs. I'm telling you, there was a refreshing. And I'm saying today, like the water in Jacob's well could refresh a thirsty heart and body, there is something that Jesus has. And I'm talking about the water now. The water, the woman, the well, the water. Neighbor, it satisfies the very longings of the heart. Amen. It's amazing what would happen to folk if they could only get one good drink of the water of life from the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I got saved, I was restless. Before I got saved, I couldn't find satisfaction. Before I was saved, there was an emptiness in my heart. Before I was saved, oh, I got so low. My dad was a man that had a second grade education, but he had more sense than the average person in the world today that's got an education. I said, my daddy was a man that had a second grade education, and he had more sense than what a lot of people in this world today that's got an education. And not that I'm against education. But when I was an 18-year-old boy, under Holy Ghost conviction, empty in my soul, needing Jesus in my heart, he told me one day, as I just... in a small manner expressed the disturbance that was in my heart and spirit. And he said to me, son, you need to get right with the Lord. It'd be amazing how you could just settle down. It'd be amazing to what peace. It'd be amazing what satisfaction. It'd be amazing what joy. It'd be amazing what feeling that you'd get today if you just let the Lord come into your life and into your heart. Just let him in. The water. Man, I tell you, this water, I want you to look what the Lord says about the water. Look in verse 10. The Jews therefore said unto him, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. I'm saying it's a gift today. Now you can go down Exonic, and they might give you one, but there's probably some stipulation. You got to buy one of their value meals, or you buy this, they'll give you something else. Buy this, they'll give you something else. You're with me? Buy this, they'll give you something else. That's all right. I'm hunting for a bargain, amen. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus says, come, and I'll give you, it's not you give me and I'll swap. Getting saved ain't a swapping match. Getting saved ain't horse trading. Praise God! Turning to Christ and receiving what he's got. Maybe it's just opening up your arms and receiving the gift of God, which is a good drink of water from heaven. The Holy Spirit, he speaks of. If any man thirst, let him come to me. And as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. That's right. Water. The water freely. If you'd have asked, if you'd have known who it was, you could have asked. That's how you get it. That's how I got it. That's how I got saved. That's exactly how I got satisfied. That's exactly how I got the living water. I'm saying this, I'm done. And I'm sincere about getting done. But nearly, in fact, it's been 49 years ago, on a Sunday night, about 10 o'clock on Sunday night, maybe 9:30. I knocked on the door. They knowed I was coming. And I went in an old farmhouse where the preacher lived. And I walked in that door that night, and the people had been trying to get me to pray, and people had been trying to get me to call on God, and I'd been running from that, and running from that, and running from that. But I went in that preacher's house that night, and I said, let's pray, preacher. And I got on my knees. I wasn't wanting to reason about nothing. I needed God, and knowed I needed God. And I got on my knees. And I simply, about five times probably, wasn't took but once, but I wanted to know, I was sincere, and about five times I said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And praise God, there was a peace. There was a joy. Keith, honestly, it felt like Amen. That a load of bricks had been lifted off of my shoulders. Man, I never experienced much joy. And you say, well, I didn't feel all that. Well, I ain't say you didn't get it, but I got it. Amen. I asked for it, and he done just exactly what he said he'd do. He said if I'd asked, he'd give it to me. I got it. Amen. I got it. Hallelujah. I know. who Jesus is. Amen. I'm telling you today. Oh yeah, this poor woman. And I feel for people. I really feel for people. I really do. This poor woman had all kinds of religion. She had a place in her life where she believed you ought to worship. She sure did. She believed in the coming of the Messiah. For she said, we've heard that when he comes, he's going to show us all things. She believed in the coming of Christ. She had a place that she believed you ought to worship. But man, I'm telling you, there was an emptiness. There was a lack in her life. You see, today, I'm not trying to get you to be a Baptist. I'm not trying to get you right now to come and be a part. I'm trying to get you to realize that if you get what you need, Jesus has got it, and you need to ask for it. So won't you do that today? Let's bow our heads. I'm done. I wonder.